So as Rob said, I'm not Imi, I'm Grace, that's Imi. And we are part of the youth here at All Saints. This is weird, but I'm going to continue. I have not done this before, neither has Imi, so this is a new experience for both of us. I can remember when I was about 8, I had a disco birthday party joint with a friend. And about halfway through, even though I was having the time of my life, I ran over to my dad and asked him if there was anything that needed to be done that I could do to help. He rightly told me, just enjoy it. This is your party. It was a chance for me to have fun with my friends, and that was the whole point. That was the only thing I needed to be worried about. I can remember thinking, but all I want to do, like there's things that need doing, there's things I need to do, there's things that, you know, I need to help out with, but what I should have been doing is just spending the time, like getting closer and enjoying the company of my friends. So when should we be mindful of practical things, and when should we just sit and be? Before I get any further, I'd like to invite Ellie to come and give us our first reading.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from town to... After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons have come out of, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means.
All right, as Grace said, I'm Imi. Some of you may remember me. I led the service about a month ago, and I made it super, super clear I wasn't your new vicar. But Vicar Nick is starting next week. I'm pretty sure you're doing a double whammy, leading and preaching. So I'm looking forward to you showing us how it's done. Right, okay. Our service theme today is focusing on Jesus' encounters with women. But I do encourage the men in our congregation to keep listening, as the message is applicable to you as well. The book of Luke has more mentions of women than any other book in the Bible, showing us the deep love that Jesus has and had for women. Now, if we look at the passage that was just read by Ellie, the first thing I want to draw your attention to is the 3 women that Luke mentions by name. These are Mary Magdalene, Joanna, wife of Chusa, and Susanna. Luke also comments that there are many more, but we're going to focus on these 3. As many of you may already know, Mary Magdalene was a woman whom Jesus had rid of many evil spirits. He was not ashamed to associate with women who were shunned by society, as he went as far as to rid them of evil spirits. Now, if we look at Joanna, wife of Chusa, we read that Chusa was Herod's steward, which would have made him a very wealthy man in that time. The fact that he allowed his wife to actively follow Jesus and support him, as well as giving up a proportion of his wealth for her to use to provide for Jesus and his disciples, reflects the visible impact that Jesus had on these women, so much so that even their husbands could see the difference and were willing to respond to it. There isn't much about Susanna, however, it does tell us that she loved Jesus and wanted to be healed by him. The fact that these women, healed by him, then gave up so much just to dwell in Jesus' presence and practically demonstrate their devotion to him shows just how much they felt that Jesus loved and respected them, and they wanted to return his love. Another thing that I personally drew from this passage was the fact that Jesus, for his time, was a feminist. Now, I'm aware that's a slightly controversial statement, but think about it. By definition, a feminist is someone who strives for the equal rights between men and women. Someone who strives to establish political, economic, and social equality of the sexes. Throughout the Bible, and especially throughout the Gospel of Luke, we see how much Jesus loves women, how he values them and respects them, trying to lift them out of the horrible conditions they were living in, He helps to lift the oppression they are under and show them that they are just as valuable to him and have a special place in his future kingdom. In return to this, you see these women practically support Jesus and spend time listening to him in a different way than his male disciples. For me, a slightly more modern version day of a woman who showed her devotion to Jesus was Amy Carmichael. So many of you probably have already heard of Amy Carmichael. So Amy was born in Ireland in December of 1867. She was part of a large Christian family and was the eldest of all of her siblings. Amy's family moved to Belfast when she was 16, and her father passed away when she was 18, leaving her to care for her other siblings alongside her mother. However, this didn't deter her from helping those who were less fortunate. She would take regular trips to the slums of Belfast with a local pastor, where she would hand out food to the impoverished. She saw the hunger the girls working in the mills had for God's love and began to set up Bible studies for them. People would gossip and tell her she was crazy and she just needed to stick to her own things, but she didn't care because she believed that this is what God was calling her to do. Her congregation quickly grew, and before she knew it, hundreds of girls were gathering to worship Jesus. She then, later, found herself called to the slums of Manchester, where she lived in horrible and dangerous conditions. But Amy continued to spread God's word. Eventually, her health meant she could no longer work in the slums, and she, during her time of recovery, she stayed with friends. When she was staying with these friends, she felt that Christ was calling her to work overseas. Once she had recovered, she went over to Japan, but was quickly brought home by illness. She thought, if God was calling her to do this, then why was the road so heavily blocked? In 1894, Amy was invited to join the Church of England Missionary Society in Bangalore. However, upon arrival, she soon realized that these people didn't have the same passions as her and continued her stay with Thomas Walker and his wife. Alongside Thomas and with his help, Amy worked hard to convert young women and girls to Christianity. These women would be shunned for this choice. Some would even be tortured and murdered for it, but Amy could not be deterred. She worked with women who had been temple prostitutes, and her response to these women mirrored her Saviour's response to the women in our first passage. How can our response to the marginalized in our society be more Christ-like? She worked tirelessly for 55 years, showing the true devotion she had for Christ through her practical support of others and her deep, unfailing faith, which did not waver as she became increasingly infirm. Now, I'm not suggesting we all go home today, go online, buy tickets, fly over to India, but as you sit and reflect today and over the next week, do you think that there is a way that you can devote yourself to Christ more?
I looked into a woman called Evangeline Corey Booth, who I hadn't heard of before. You probably will know of her parents, though, because they jointly founded the Salvation Army. And she dedicated her life to following in their footsteps and led the Salvation Army for 30 years before becoming the first female general in the International Salvation Army. She used her time both to practically support her parents' missionary work, but also to deepen not just her faith, but the faith of others too, and to support them devotionally. There are so many examples of inspiring women in the Bible as well. So now we will have our next Bible reading by Charlotte.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one.
Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord.
So, before I unpack the verses we just had a little bit, I have a question for you. If you could invite anyone from all of time, past or future, real or fiction, to a dinner party, who would you invite? Just sort of shout at me. It's hard, yeah. And you'd eat just pesto, right? Yeah. yeah, anyone else? Nice. Queen, that's a good one. You got one, Rob?
I feel like I should shout.
Yeah, it's a hard question. Oh yeah, he'd be a good one. Oh, Martin Luther. That's the, yeah. Now, imagine you spent all your time at this dinner party cooking and cleaning after the person you'd invited, and you never had an extended conversation with them. How annoying would that be? If you told someone at work the next week, oh, I had a dinner party with the Queen, but all I did was clean up after her, they'd probably say you'd got your priorities wrong. That is what Martha is doing in the passage, getting her priorities wildly wrong. She's not only preventing herself from being in the presence of Jesus, but she's also actively preventing Mary from doing the same. She tells Jesus, my sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. She needs to put both of their spirituality above practicality in this instance. And Jesus rightly answers her that she only needs to be doing one thing, dwelling in Jesus' presence. And that's what we need to do as well. Sometimes we just need to stop being busy and just sort of be. One of the times that I connected most with the character of Mary was when I was sat near my granddad, just sort of sat on my phone. He was chatting with my dad about the Christian Union, what his Christian Union was like when he was at university. I can remember sitting and listening to him talk about, there was only six of them, and how they all came from different denominations, but they still all came together to worship Jesus. I sat for at least 20 minutes just pretending to be on my phone, listening to the both of them talk. I can remember feeling in awe of how, even though all these people were so different, they all still were able to come together despite their differences. Yeah.
Okay, my Mary example isn't some really exciting story, it's actually quite simple. So one day I was walking to my bus stop. Now for context, I live in the middle of nowhere and my bus stop is in the next village. And so for me, the walk to the bus stop can many days be a burden because it's not an easy walk. You know, some people say I'm maybe dramatic when I explain it, but they should try walking around the corner along the gap, through the fields, past the car garage, past the fishing lake, past the fluffy pigs, over the road, through the stinging nettles. I mean, by the time I get to the bus, I already want to go home again. So one day I was feeling very stressed. It was exam week and my mind just felt weighed down by things. That morning, I was feeling aggravated and under a lot of pressure. And as I left the house, I remember my mum calling out to me, saying, pray about it while you walk. In the moment, I was like, ugh, I don't want to pray about it. I'm not in the mood. I don't want to be doing this. It's cold. It's wet. It's windy. Can't she just drive me? But as I began to walk, I decided to play my worship playlist for the first time in a while. I was walking through maybe the second field, and the sun had begun to rise. And in that moment, I just felt suddenly struck with this overwhelming sense of peace. I just felt God's presence so much in that moment, telling me that it was okay. I didn't need to worry, that everything was going to work out. and I just stopped and I just soaked it up. Looking back on it now, I realize it was only when I finally stopped to listen to him that I heard him. I think for many of us, this concept of stopping and listening is easier said than done. Many of us tend to get caught up in the busyness and the franticness of our lives. Rather than focusing on God, we invest most of our time into our practical helping and often forget to dwell and soak up Jesus' presence. As we look, this was clearly a struggle for Martha as well, but we do hear from Martha again in John's Gospel, and Rob's put together a video to summarize it for us.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Many people had come to be with Mary and Martha because their brother had died. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Then she returned to Mary. She told Mary, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep.
"Oh, let's go too."
So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him?"
A passage there, leaving us on a bit of a cliffhanger. Those of you that know the story will know that Jesus does indeed go to Lazarus's tomb and raises him. He walks out wearing his grave clothes. But in this encounter, we see Martha's return further down the storyline of Jesus's ministry and life. And what can we see that's different in Martha's response here? In this moment, Martha seeks out Jesus's presence. She goes to him to be with him. She knows who he is and what he can do. We see her priorities have shifted from the practical to showing her devotion to Jesus and wanting to be with him. We see Jesus' devotion and love for those people around him, particularly for this special family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And in return, we see that devotion shown back.